Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day workshop for men seeking to overcome any destructive sexual habits. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery with decades of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan, and I'm the founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop. And I want to personally invite you to register for our next workshop coming up November 10th through the 12th in Florida, just outside Orlando. So give us a call at 1-800-49-PURITY or register online at gatewaymen.com.
You're listening to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Brought to you by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us on the web at puresexradio.com.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you with us. My name is Jonathan, and we have a really special guest on the line. We have Daniel Weiss with the Brush Fires Foundation. So, Daniel, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much, Jonathan. It's really glad to be back. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back on here. It's been, how long ago was it actually that we first had you on the program?
It's been at least 3 years, I'm thinking.
Okay.
So it's been a while.
Yeah, so my hair was darker then. that's what now having three teenagers will do. It's like my hair is getting lighter and lighter. But folks, before we get into Daniel's story, because I really want you to hear just his story and kind of the journey that he's taken to get to where he is now, I just want to thank those of you out there who have chosen to partner with us financially. We're so grateful because there's no way we can do the ministry that we're doing and do these broadcasts and all the various things that we're doing without your support. And so we thank you for that. If you feel God stirring you to come alongside and partner with us in this work that we're doing, please go to puresexradio.com and click on the donate link. Well, Daniel, let's just dive right in. I'd love for you to just be able to share some of your story with our listeners. Those who were listening maybe 2 or 3 years ago might remember you, but it's always good to just share stories. That's one of our core values here. We feel like we connect better when we unpack our stories. So why don't you just maybe give us a little bit of your history?
Sure, Jonathan, I'd be happy to. Well, I grew up in a perfect home and had a perfect childhood, and my life's really great. And
okay, so, well, we just had a 3-minute program, so now we're see you guys later.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what everyone wishes, but that's not how life works, is it?
No, it's not.
We all have a past, and part of my story is, I think probably will resonate with a number of listeners, is I had a real hard time connecting even with my own story. And it's really been actually through my work on issues of sexual brokenness that I've gotten in touch with my own brokenness in a far deeper way and frankly in a far healthier way. So I want to explain, I got a job at Focus on the Family, and a lot of people would love to work there. This was in 2002. And I was hired to be a web editor. Now, the interesting thing was I had no experience. And it wasn't like I was deceiving them in the application. I told them that. But I had a real connection with the director who was hiring, and I think he wanted to get me on the team. So he brought me to Colorado from Washington, D.C., where I was working. And for about 2 months, I was trying to do this job, and I really wasn't equipped for it. And they really weren't ready for that position to be filled. So I was going nowhere, and my boss was going away for about 6 weeks, some personal time and some business travel. And right before he did, he said, you know, I think we need an analyst to handle issues dealing with pornography. Hmm. Dr. Dobson had been on the Attorney General's Commission on Pornography. He had a really powerful interview with Ted Bundy, a notorious serial killer who had been deeply influenced by pornography. So this was kind of a core issue for the ministry, but nobody was really tracking it. Well, by the time my director got back 6 weeks later, I said, I'm your pornography analyst, because I'd been working on that issue. I just asked for a title change. I really didn't want that on a business card.
Yeah, well, I joke with people all the time that one of the common names that I'm given at my church is I'm the sex guy. So, I mean, there's all different kinds of titles that we can be given, right?
Well, I had a few that my colleagues gave me, but we always joked, at least, you know, I wasn't the STD lady like right. One of my other coworkers.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, we had a lot of fun with that. But the point of me sharing that part of the story is I really got into this work with I wasn't going in this direction at all.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I wasn't really in touch with my own story. I just started to dig into these issues from a public policy perspective. I was looking at obscenity laws and broadcast indecency. So I was really reading court decisions and law and things like that. Out of that, I started to connect with a website that focused on the family, had up and running, but no project manager on it. It was called Pure Intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And Pure Intimacy was devoted to helping people struggling with pornography use and their spouses. So again, kind of out of the blue, I got tapped to be a project manager on, you know, addiction recovery and pornography use. And I had no experience. So I connected with all kinds of counselors and I talked with experts and I ended up commissioning a number of original articles. We really beefed up the site. I was really proud of that work. So I learned a lot about brokenness. I learned a lot about addiction, and people were turning to me for answers on this. Ultimately, you know, I worked at Focus for almost 9 years, and I never really kind of I was always kind of hiding behind a mask there. And the truth was that I had a lot of sexual brokenness in my own life. I had been exposed to pornography at age 7. It had been kind of an off and on again thing throughout mostly high school, some in middle school. And, you know, that was an issue in college as well. And so I really had no idea how much that had influenced me until after I got married. And I think a lot of people realize that as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm married now, the problem's going to be gone, and you find out it's not. And so I would say over the course of I've been doing this work for 15 years now, Jonathan, and even in the last, I would say, 3 years, I've just come to a deeper understanding of just how broken I was, not just sexually, but relationally,
mm-hmm.
Just issues from my past that I actually thought had been reconciled and handled. I had no idea how much they continued to pull me into unhealthy cycles. So, mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask.
I'm being a little vague, but that's kind of the overview. It's like it has been hard for me doing all this good work and still having a hard time getting in touch with my own brokenness. And I suspect that's true for a lot of people.
Sure. And I'd like to talk about two things there. One is just some of the discoveries you made along the way in terms of realizing, you know, especially the transition into marriage and how that just doesn't have the kind of effect that we think it's going to have on our sexual brokenness. But then also this idea of, I almost hear there's this little bit of an underlying surprise that you can be doing this work for 15 years and still have so much yet to discover in your own journey. And I think sometimes those who are in any kind of full-time ministry have this feeling like, well, man, you know, at some point we should have it all together. You know, at some point we should sort of know like all the answers and have all of our lives all kind of put together. And I think if anybody's been in, you know, any kind of ministry for any amount of time, you realize that you have to serve from a place of brokenness. But first, let's talk about some of the, maybe we could call it sort of the disappointment discoveries that you made along the way, especially that one about maybe the transition into marriage and thinking that marriage might be kind of this cure-all, because we have a lot of listeners that I think that's the experience that they had. I mean, the majority of our listeners are married, but I think the reason they're listening to us is because they're coming from that place of there was a disillusionment somewhere along the way in their relationship of what they expected to what they are now experiencing. And so why don't you speak to that a little bit, and kind of maybe your own experience, but then also just any insights you have on that.
Sure. Well, it's interesting. It's fresh on my mind. I was writing about this very thing today for a project I'm doing. And I think probably for me, I mean, it was for me and probably for a lot of people, I thought the pornography was a lot about sex. And it really, it wasn't a sexual need that necessarily, I mean, it was on the surface, but the deeper need down there was a search for meaning and for identity. And it was a search for, you know, in a sense, it was a medicating activity to keep me from really dealing with some underlying trauma, childhood traumas that I had. And so it's really easy to look at these things from the surface level and say, hey, you know, this is a sexual acting out. And for me, I actually had not had intercourse before I was married. I was, I guess, properly termed a technical virgin because I had been sexually active. But I was really proud of that fact. And mm-hmm. this is something I was reflecting on here recently. I was proud of the fact that the truth was I wasn't pure at all. I mean, I was right. ravaged by lust, and so I had technically saved myself for my wife, but oh, my heart, my mind, my spirit was all jumbled up, and those things didn't change just because I was married. And so it was actually several years of marriage before I was able to, even maybe for the first time, to see my wife purely and rightly and to approach her not from a position of fulfilling my own needs or my own desires, but to truly serve her and to accept if she wasn't interested in intimacy that I could bless her by not pushing the point. And to begin to bless my wife with the way I approached her and the way I interacted with her was totally new to me. I had no experience living that way in my life. And so that was a real painful realization to know that I loved my wife, but spent many years really not respecting and cherishing her the way that I thought I was. And of course, as you know, that's an ongoing process in marriage. You work at it constantly because the sinful heart is still part of your life.
Right. Well, and so, you know, one of the things that I'm hearing is such a common theme that we hear in anybody who comes to our ministry, and that is that the growth in building a healthy relationship, the growth in even healing from sexual brokenness is so often a journey of discovering just how much we have established the paradigm of self-centeredness in our lives.
Oh, absolutely.
I guess I would love to I would love for our listeners to maybe be able to hear what that journey has been like for you at various stages of, because here you're talking about, hey, I discovered essentially I'm a self-centered husband, and now I'm discovering that that's not really how a healthy relationship works. So you can't continue down that path. Talk about the feelings that are associated not only with the discovery of that, but then recognizing what must be done in order to change that. Because I don't think we love to sometimes come up with really cute little cliches or almost flowery kind of processes that make it seem like, oh, this is going to be like running through a field in the summertime, you know? And it's like, okay, the reality is when you look at what the change is going to require, It's brutal. It's difficult. It's something that requires humility, and even though it may be redemptive because we understand the work of Christ in our lives, it doesn't mean that it's necessarily always fun. So can you share with us a little bit about just embracing that difficulty?
Well, let me share a story. And I've been in a men's group that meets every week for many years now. And it's just a group of guys of all different ages. There's probably a 30-year age gap in there of the men that attend, and from all different churches. And the men like to go to this men's retreat, local men's retreat. And I wasn't able to attend this one, but the guys that came back the next time we met were sharing about it. And they were telling a funny story about how one of the speakers wanted to say, you know, this is going to blow your mind. like, you know, the thing I'm going to tell you is going to blow your mind. And he slipped and he said, this is going to blow your face off. And we all laughed about it.
Oh, my.
But yeah, I mean, it's hilarious, right? I mean, what a slip up. But what happened that night is men actually, it really blew their face off because it blew their masks off. Mm. And we had men that night confessing not just kind of your everyday normal guy sin, like, hey, man, I'm struggling with pornography. And a number of guys did that night, actually, and never talked about it before. Mm. But it came out that night. But one guy shared a story that he said he was convinced he would take to his grave. He was deeply ashamed of a situation that happened in his childhood. And, you know, he got that out. And everyone who confessed that night was met with unbelievable love and grace and acceptance and support. Mm. I mean, nobody said, man, everybody knew that the things that had happened were wrong. No one had to say that. But what needed to be said is, we love you. We see who you really are, and we love you. And so that unmasking process is a huge part of coming to terms with our own selves. That's been a hard part for me, is to recognize the masks I put on. And I think you alluded to that, Jonathan. It's really tempting as a ministry leader or as someone who works in this to hide our own brokenness. Because of what you said, there's so much pressure to be good or to be holy or to never have problems. You don't want people to discover that. And I confess to you, I was guilty of that. Mm. It's been a hard journey to say, no, I have to face my brokenness. Henry Nouwen wrote in Life of the Beloved, you know, when people feel pain, they normally lean away from it. If we touch a hot pan, we pull away. But healing from pain means going back into it, really. When we're talking about spiritual and emotional and sexual pain, we've got to actually go through that pain in order to come out on the other side. And that's been the hard part of my journey, is admitting, you know, I do have some brokenness. I do have lust issues, even as someone who works on this issue, and I can't hide about it anymore. I've got to come clean.
You know, and one of the things that we always really emphasize in our ministry, and I want our listeners to hear this because it's important to be able to distinguish if you're in what we would call a grace-based environment versus a performance-based environment, is exactly what you're talking about there, Daniel. In a grace-based environment, whoever might be facilitating that essentially needs to be able to say, we are no different from one another in here. In the sense that we all carry brokenness, we all carry sin, we all need a savior, we all need help. And when you have that as kind of the baseline, guess what? Then we can roll up our sleeves and we can all get to work. But if you start creating sort of this caste system, you know, that essentially says, well, listen, if you're wearing the leader hat or the facilitator hat, then, well, guess what? You have to be the one that always has an answer. You can never say, I don't know. You always, you know, you never have anything to confess. Oh my goodness. That would be, you know, scandalous. And it's just the next thing you know, the environment gets toxic because what ends up happening is when you have that person that's in the group that's saying, I am dying here. But then there's the expectation that we're all trying to be like the leader there. And guess what? He doesn't have any problems. How can that person bring out what they're carrying, if we don't first admit we're all in the same boat of need? We may be at different stages on the journey, but it doesn't change the dynamic of that commonality of our brokenness.
Well, Jonathan, I could not possibly agree with you more in everything you just said. And that's been a huge part of the formation of the Brush Fires Foundation, is understanding that, you know, what I was living, what so many people are living, the isolated life, healing and health is not possible. It has to be a community effort. It has to be done in relationship, and it has to be done with vulnerability. And you know what? It's hard to create the circumstances where that's possible. My men's group, you know, people weren't confessing, you know, the first year or two. It was like in year three. And so this is the challenge of our age, and what we've begun dedicating ourselves to at Brush Fires is, how do we create safe places where this can happen in churches? And it involves a culture, and it involves an intentionality. We have to, and that's, I use those words. There's no us and them here. Like you said, it's just us. And for me to be able to say that required me to be able to live that. And so that really, you know, I want to go back to my time at Focus just because that was so influential for me professionally. It gave me such head knowledge. I really knew a lot. You know, I'm kind of chuckling, you know, don't pat yourself on the back too hard here. But I did have a lot of head knowledge. I had almost no heart knowledge. And it was, you know, it's like the longest 18 inches is from your head to your heart.
Yeah.
And so it has been my journey with Brush Fires where now I'm beginning to live out those things that I had talked about and understood in an educational sense, but didn't know how to live them out. And so that's been the joy of my journey now is that I get to be the first one in the breach so I can tell people it's okay. You can jump in because there are people waiting for you here.
Well, let me ask you this because I can already sense and even hear some of our listeners sort of screaming through the radio or screaming at their phone or whatever saying, I've heard 1,000 times that there's that 18 inches is the, you know, the longest journey. But nobody tells you how. Like, how do you actually get? And what I'm hearing from you, if and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that sometimes it's maybe hard to map out the exact how to journey that head to heart, you know, road. As much as it might be, it's something that is experienced over time. And I don't mean that to sound like a cop out, but what I'm hearing you say is, guess what? You had all this head knowledge and then you had to discover over time how that applies on a heart and soul level. So at least give some encouragement for the listeners that are screaming at us right now that we can't quite hear, but that are wanting to know, okay, Daniel, give me something. Like, what does that look like for you in your life practically? How has some of that worked out into your heart that was previously just head?
Well, you know, I think that is a great point, and I'm really glad you teased that out because you're right. It is hard to map that out. I think for me, I have a phrase, I use it all the time because it doesn't seem to stop happening to me, but that God, because I'm such a hard-headed, stubborn person, he has to back me into blessing. And that phrase comes to mind because I grew up on a farm and, you know, we had dairy cows and after we'd have a little calf born, after a while, we'd have to move it out to where the rest of the cattle were. And so my dad would say, put a halter on that calf and lead it out to the other barn. Well, these calves were stubborn, and I was a little guy, maybe 7 or 8, so I didn't have a lot of weight to me. So they outweighed me, and I was having real trouble moving these calves. And so what I finally discovered is that every time I pulled on the rope, they pulled against me. And so I finally realized if I just turn them around and face their backsides to where I want them to go and pull on the rope, they basically walk themselves back where exactly where I want them to go. And so that's what I call being backed into blessing. I've been resistant to God and kind of that Jacob struggling with the angel at the river there and struggling and not letting go of God and finally saying, bless me. Well, he's blessed me. But he's given me a limp, and the blessing comes with the limp, and the limp is the evidence of the blessing. And so God has backed me into blessing so many times. How this happens in my sexuality is, where have I been resistant? You know, where have I been resistant to God? That's the point where he's trying to do the most work. And so a lot of this just comes in surrender.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing there are people listening right now that say, I know what he's talking about because I can think of the exact things I'm fighting against right now. And maybe it's stuff they've heard from faithfully listening to Pure Sex Radio. They've heard this 100 times or 12 times, and it's not clicking because they're resisting it. I mean, we all have those areas. And I think the loving God pursues us directly into the dark places, and that's where he can do his greatest work.
Yeah. And I think you just gave our listeners the nugget they needed in this episode because, I mean, first of all, that's a story and an image that I'm never going to forget. I mean, just turning cows around and making their resistance actually work for them. And often I wonder if that's what some of our listeners need to hear. And even I need to hear to say, hey, are there some rope marks around my neck and where I'm pulling and God is gently turning me around to work me into that, you know, backing me into a blessing. And, I love that. I think that's a great way to think about it. And if you think about it, I mean, we do know that God, he disciplines those he loves, but he's also gracious with us. He's like a father. He's tenderhearted. He is for our good. He's not against us. So we can, you know, we can kind of put all of these things together that make us realize that whatever our journey has looked like and wherever we are right now, he is still working out that whole redemptive plan. So in the last couple minutes that we have here, why don't you just kind of share maybe with some things that really have been most recently some of your biggest aha moments, and then let our listeners know how they can get in touch with Brush Fires and with your work.
Sure. Well, you know, it's funny, as we're talking about, you know, going deeper into brokenness and discovering different layers, you know, one of the ahas I've had, and it was pretty foundational, was probably last year, and I've been working through a book of a friend of ours, David Zahler, and he runs Operation Integrity. And working through his book with another guy, and I don't remember the exact page we were on, but something I read, and sometimes you go back and you're like, really, I got that from that passage. You know, God has used the words, but it's not necessarily what's on the page. It's what he opens up in your mind. Mm-hmm. And what he opened my mind up to was not that, you know, it wasn't the realization of like, oh, you're an addict, like you're addicted to porn, or it was the idea that the addictive tendencies have been part of my life going back to my early childhood. That was the part I had not been able to access, that the struggle I had with pornography or alcohol or whatever it was, those were the symptoms of the deeper wound and the trauma. And I thought, oh my goodness, everything in my life. And I'm talking, Jonathan, I spent a day just sitting in my office, and my mind was just flooded with my whole life and understanding that I was reacting the way I was because of things set in motion so very long ago. And not that, you know, things were done to me, and not just, I'm not just talking like sexual abuse. I'm just talking about emotional turmoil and things in the family that really are quite common to families in broken families, but they affected me deeply. And I began to develop coping mechanisms that I never recognized in all of my professional work. That's the thing. It had never clicked for me. And God chose that moment to reveal it. And then, and honestly, you remember the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, when she, after talking to Jesus, she ran to the village and said, come see a man who told me my whole life. That was that day for me. It's like God told me my whole life why I'd been struggling, why I'd been caught in certain ruts, even to that day. And I got to say, you know, you talk about grace so much and mercy. I mean, God tells us his love is, his never ending love endures, and his mercies are new every morning. Boy, I wake up and I thank God for his mercy, and I appeal to it because we are all broken in our own ways. We are all sinful, and here we have a God who loves us to the very end, through death and into new life again. And that's where the answer is for me, for you, and for everyone else.
Amen. So tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and Brush Fires.
Yeah, they can visit our website, brushfiresfoundation.org, and we've got a lot of helpful resources there. We're not a recovery, small group recovery ministry. What we're really doing is working to equip the church and really the larger Christian community with how to deal with issues of sexual brokenness and sexual wholeness and how to do that well. So we're a lot about opening and starting the dialogue in Christian groups and communities. So that's what people will find there.
That's great. Well, Daniel, thanks for being with us. Would you mind coming back again so that we can really dive in a little bit more into Brush Fires and some of the ministry initiatives that you have?
I would love to do that. I'm having a great time with you, Jonathan.
Great. Well, listeners, we're always glad you're with us as well, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.